Hi, welcome to the Gooder Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Frey. As partner and CMO of Retail Voodoo, an award-winning branding agency, I've met and worked with some of the most amazing women in the naturals industry and food, beverage, wellness, and fitness. As such, I've decided to create the Gooder Podcast to interview these great people, subject matter experts, and have them share their insights and their expertise, a little bit of passion too, to help their business become gooder. Today, I'm very excited to introduce my guest, Vivi Mullen, who is the co-founder and co-CEO of Go Big, a natural energy and wellness shot. Vivi takes great pride in being the only female CEO in the energy business. There's an energy beverage or energy period?
Energy drinks, yeah.
Energy drinks, okay. She was born and raised in Brazil, where Vivi's career as a female executive in male-dominated corporate cultures stoked and shaped her ambition to make a difference in the lives of women. She has worked in various leadership roles for companies like Valencia Textile. Did I get that right?
Valencia, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to butcher everything because I didn't do my homework. You're going to see that, right? Okay. And Casa de Ventos, Brazil's largest wind energy company. Oh, my goodness. Welcome, Vivi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Where are you calling from today?
I am calling from New York City.
Okay, you're in New York. Because I know that sometimes you go back to Brazil. Is that correct?
I mean, just for vacation. Okay. I mean, vacation, working remotely.
Gotcha.
I'm pretty much based out of here, and the company's based out of New York.
Okay. And are you guys coming out of the snow right now, or is it still kind of piling up over there?
It's still piling up, and it's going to snow basically all week this week.
No.
Yeah. Yesterday was pretty bad.
Oh, man. Well, I'm really excited to have you on the show. And I always like to start at the beginning with, tell us about your brand, but really like, tell us about Go Big, but why did you create it? Why does it exist outside of like the idea of the business? Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. So Go Big, to explain it, like, I think the easiest way to explain it is, imagine if 5-Hour Energy in a wellness shot had a baby. So that's Go Big. We took the best attributes of each category and we made it into something exponentially better. And the reason this started was because I was really tired. I was an exhausted new mom, and whenever I needed the energy that coffee wouldn't give me, I would take guarana. So for those of you who don't know what guarana is, it's a seed from the Amazon, from my native country, Brazil. It's been scientifically proven to improve memory, focus, and performance. And it's something that every Brazilian knows, but it's not very well known here in the U.S. So One day, my best friend, Ben, he came to visit me, and he started complaining about waking up at 6 a.m. for a CrossFit class. So I was like, first of all, Ben, like, you're not tired. I'm tired. I have a baby. But here, you should take some of my guarana. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm paleo. I don't take anything artificial. It's like, no, it's a seed. He takes guarana. Feels amazing. Starts telling everyone at his CrossFit class how amazing he feels. They are seeing that he's lifting more than he's ever done. He starts sharing the guarana little shots that tasted horrible with his friends. They all loved it so much. He eventually obviously ran out of the guarana that I gave him. Everyone was very upset. And then people started asking to buy it. And so he told me about it, and we started looking at the market. And energy drinks in general, it's a $14 billion industry. It's controlled by 5 companies. It's Red Bull, Monster, Rockstar, Bang Energy, and 5-Hour Energy. So in the shot category, it's a $1 billion segment. And it's 90% controlled by 5-Hour Energy, which is pure chemicals, launched 15 years ago, completely outdated. So we thought, if every category in CPG has been disrupted by a better for you alternative, why not energy shots or energy drinks? Mm-hmm. And what we found was there are two main reasons. the natural shots were weaker and they did not taste very good. So we decided to go with, to match 5-hour energy and caffeine. So we're the only natural shot that matches 5-hour energy and caffeine. And after 2 years of formulating and hiring food scientists and everything, we have the best tasting energy shot in the market. So we launched in February of last year, a few weeks before the pandemic. And we were going to do gyms and D2C, gyms in New York. Obviously, that did not work. So we got a bunch of orders and they all got canceled because all the gyms closed. And we've been doing D2C. It's been amazing. And yeah, we are running off to the races.
Excellent.
From also another thing that I just wanted to add from like a personal perspective, because you asked like also from a personal perspective.
Yeah.
From a branding perspective, the energy drink industry is, you know, not the most inclusive industry out there. It's very misogynistic. And my theory was, you know, women are 50% of the population. We're just as tired, if not more tired than men. Why is no energy drink or energy shot being marketed to women in a, you know, in an inclusive way? And what we have found also is that over 50% of our customers, actually about 70% of our customers are female. So the theory did, and our customer base is pretty diverse. And we decided to launch a brand on values of empowerment and inclusivity. So that's what actually makes me wake up really happy to go to work every day.
Oh, love it. Well, so let's go back in time before Go Big. Now, we've already mentioned that you were born and raised in Brazil, but and the reason why this is important, of course, is this is a part of your leadership story. It's part of who you are and what you bring to the product and bring to our industry. Can you share a little bit about the Brazilian culture in a way, kind of around the whole concept of women, professional women and women in business? How is it the same? And how is it different than the US? Just, you know, at a high level.
Sure. Well, Brazilian culture is amazing. Proud to be Brazilian. Very happy people. But from a female perspective, we are years behind. So Brazilian women, especially where I come from, are not brought up to be empowered or ambitious or strong-willed. We are raised to be pretty and agreeable. And then when it comes to working in Brazil, sexual harassment is not even like a thing. Like, it's just a reality of everyday life. Like, hearing little comments about how you look or being asked on a date or, you know, like, let's just say at the beginning of my career in Brazil, like, I wore very oversized suits and I would never go to dinner with a male client by myself ever just because I didn't want to be in that situation.
Yeah.
So that's a big
quite
difference.
Quite different. So that kind of, there's from two points of the perspective, and while that still happens in the U.S., I think it's not really pronounced. It's definitely frowned upon behavior, at least for men and their behavior towards women in business. You don't see that a whole lot. But when you think about who you are as a leader and building this business and how you want to project yourself now here within the US marketplace. And then as your brand grows across borders, however that might happen, what is it that, like, how do we flip that around a little bit and kind of go, okay, because of this, it makes me think about business this way, or it helps me think about relationship building this way. Do you have that perspective? Does that question make sense?
That does. So one other thing that I think I've always been different. I've always been an outsider in a certain way. I've always been ambitious, and even though I wasn't taught to be that, my parents were. They encouraged me to be ambitious. I just saw the world. And then actually another thing that's really important, I think, in my leadership position and me as a person, is ever since I've been 12 years old, I grew up between the US and Brazil. I've been moving back and forth between Brazil and the US ever since I was 12. So when you grow up between two very different cultures, you never really fully fit in anywhere.
Yeah.
And that kind of became, as a leader or as a person, like my superpower, because when you don't fit in anywhere, you, first of all, you understand that there's more than one way to do the same thing. And so you look at things not just as they are, but what they could be. And one of the great things about the U.S. that I actually really love about this country is that the U.S., yes, there are setbacks, but the U.S. is a country of change and dreamers and things and fighters and fighters for, you know, Black Lives Matter. And there are always people fighting for something better, for a better world. And to me, that really speaks to me as a leader, and here in Brazil, everywhere. So that is something that, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's a big part of my leadership, and what I want to accomplish with this company. I want to change a whole industry that, I mean, I invite anyone who's listening to go look at Bang Energy's Instagram and just, I want to change that. I want women to be shown in a different light. I want minorities to be shown and not just, you know, ignored. And I want the world, I think everyone is tired, and we have a great solution, a natural solution, a healthier solution to the problem of being tired.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's.
I like that, because, you know, within what I love about it is within the context of your product, like nobody's just going to be taking energy shots all day long. You have to eat, you know, and you want some diversity. and I like how when you're talking about kind of changing the world and changing how things can be, that this energy shot or that you're making, you know, Go Big fits a very specific need, but that you are actually looking at an industry as a whole. And I think that's really a fine balance, that your leadership is looking at what the needs are and plugging in rather than what can I make and then trying to figure out how to shoehorn it in. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Yeah. And I think this outsider perspective, I mean, I understand it. My parents are immigrants, and while I wasn't going back and forth between countries, especially in the 70s and 80s as a kid growing up, in the suburbs, which were predominantly multi-generational Caucasian Americans, we were the oddballs. And I was an outsider in my own household, to give you this way, right? I was bringing American ideals and American philosophy into the house of a family that was very much, you know, girls should be this. And I had like four types of jobs that would be approved by my parents. Like, so I get that. And then you go out into the real world. And so I completely understand this outsider perspective and that how you see it as a problem solving superpower that comes from that. It's not comfortable at the time, for sure. You know, when you're a kid, nobody wants to be an outsider, but as an adult, it certainly, I think it helps a lot.
Yeah. And the other thing about being an outsider is that it builds empathy. You learn how to put yourself in other, you take the time to put yourself in other people's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you a better leader. That makes you a better business person. You are able to sell to different people. You are able to market, you know, like it's, to talk to your employees, and honestly, to build a better company culture, to hire better, to hire people who really want to be there, who just don't fit this mold of like the perfect resume. So I think that's the other thing too. Like if you're an outsider and you don't have the standard resume and like these schools and this and that, and you look like this and you don't have an accent and you're white and you're
right.
Like it's you hire people like you who are, you know, motivated outsiders.
Yeah, motivated. Ooh, I like that filter. Girl, I'm stealing that. I'm writing it down right now. Okay. Oh, that's really awesome. Okay. So here we are. We're talking about being an outsider, but yet on the flip side, you're like many of us, working mom, juggling all the things. And you've started up a brand with little ones. We've had a very strange last 12 months, and it will continue for a little while. What are you learning about yourself during this time?
I am learning that sleep is a luxury, and thank God I started an energy shot company.
sleep is a luxury. That's such a shame, isn't it? Oh, man.
Yeah, but like, I think this pandemic, I'm learning how to pivot, how to be creative. Like, obviously, like, remember when we launched this company like literally weeks before the pandemic hit in New York, and I was in New York, so at the center of everything.
Oh my gosh.
March, you know, like in New York. And you learn how to pivot real quick, and you learn that. And then I remember that we thought the pandemic would be over by the summer,
right?
And you're like making all these plans. And then after a while, you learn that, like, you just kind of go along with it, keep making the best decisions you can with the information that's available, read a lot to try to, like, have some vision of the future, but none of it works anyways. I still have no idea when this pandemic is going to end.
I don't think any of us do, girl.
You know, and you try your best, I think, and you're resilient, and you realize how much people are important, and you miss hugging your friends and having Thanksgiving. And so, yeah, that's what I've learned. I've learned I love people. I've learned that sleep is a luxury and planning is somewhat helpful, but not really these days.
That's so funny. Planning is somewhat helpful for somebody like me that likes to have a plan in place and then think it's set. It's been a learning for me too. So I can understand. Let's talk about this concept of wasted mental space. I want to go back to, you know, when you and I spoke a few weeks ago in preparation for this, you used the term wasted mental space. Tell us what you mean by that and maybe give a couple of examples.
Sure. So what I wanted to shed light on with the wasted mental space is that women in general, we have to worry about a lot of things that men don't. So there's this phenomenon in psychology, which is called objectification. So people, they develop a bystander view of themselves. And for women, it happens around like a little bit before adolescence, early adolescence. And what we do is like, so there's a study that shows, for example, and basically we objectify ourselves. We start seeing ourselves from a societal view, which is a male view. So there's a study that shows there's a group of college guys and college girls, men and women. Half of the women and half of the men, they have to try on a bathing suit, and then the other half have to try on a sweater, and then they go and they do a math test.
Okay.
For the women who tried a bathing suit on did worse than the women who tried on a sweater. For the men, there was no difference. So let's take that to a job interview, right? You're
Yes.
going to interview for your dream job. And you prep for the questions, but then you have to think about, you want to get a manicure to, you know, look put together. You got to wake up early the day of the meeting so that you can do your hair and put your makeup on. When you rehearse the answers to the questions, you rehearse not just like the content, but you rehearse the delivery because you want to be assertive but warm. You don't want to sound too bossy, especially if the interviewer is a man. And this makes you second guess yourself and think about yourself in a way that basically is just going to lower your self-esteem. And it's a lot of cognitive energy that you should be using to prepare for the questions. Now imagine your male counterpart. He probably owns like 3 suits. He's going to wear one of them. He's going to shave and he's going to maybe get a haircut. And that's about it. And he's going to think and he's going to prep the whole time for the answers to the question. He's not going to think about the manner that he's going to deliver those answers because, you know, he doesn't have to. So this is something that a lot of people don't pay attention to, but I think is a great barrier that we deal with as women. That's what I meant by, and then that's just one way. Mm-hmm. Like once you get the job, then if you have a kid, you're going to take more of the work. I mean, it's become very, very obvious in this pandemic that women definitely share more than half of the logistics of a household or taking care of children. So it's all like, so women not only they have to work harder because they're not acknowledged on the same level for the same work, but there's all this extra stuff that we have to deal with on like a cognitive level that men don't. So it's exhausting. It's exhausting. And that's what I was talking about, wasted mental. Yeah. It's a waste of mental space.
Yeah, I gotcha. I think I had never considered it that way, but I think back to in my early 20s, this is like, maybe this is what you mean, but in my early 20s, I remember I worked at an insurance company. I was working my way through college. I was going through college at night and I was working full-time during the day. And I remember getting a review from one of my bosses at the time. I had three different job titles in 3 different departments. I was there for 10 years, but this was the first one. And I had my boss told me, who was a woman, told me that people at the company said that when I was walking around, I wasn't smiling enough. And that was on my review. And then I went to work for .com in like 2000. And I remember being told by a group of men that I laughed too much. And those things kind of always stick in the back of my brain. I'm like, smile more, but don't laugh. Right. And so it's that kind of what you mean is like this kind of like, I've got this whole series of check boxes on how I need to show up and be present, in any given scenario.
Yeah, and they're distracting and they are not helpful to your self-esteem because you should be thinking about what you're saying, not if you're like how you should be thinking about where you're going, not if you're smiling. Like,
am I smiling? Or the one that got me was that I laugh too much in meetings and I was like, okay, I don't even know what to do with that. So then I stopped laughing in meetings altogether. I don't work in .com was very male dominated at the time as well. And it was a pressure cooker. It was right when the whole world was changing from a tech standpoint, but it's all different now. But what kind of tools do you use to prepare yourself for those things? Then are you like, do you go to therapy to get rid of those things? Do you meditate? Do you like how, what kind of advice do you offer to people? Like, okay, great. So now we have this awareness of this wasted mental space. Okay. What do you suggest? How do I get out of that mindset? How do I clear?
So, I think number one is to be aware of how much time you waste thinking about these things. When it comes to preparing for interviews or, thinking about like, I don't know, I have been to therapy, but I think for myself, it's just at some point, I just came to terms with the fact, and this took me years. I don't know how exactly, but at a certain point, I just gave up on pleasing people. And I found what people say, I found my voice, and I speak the way that I am. Some people are going to like it. Some people are not. There are men who are sexist. They're going to think whatever anyways. Yeah. It's not personal.
Yeah.
I think another thing is like, it's not personal and it's not your fault. It's not your job to please everybody. Mm. Like if people think you should be smiling more, like, okay.
I was still young at the time. I mean, I was in my early 20s.
No, I get it, but it affects you.
Oh, for sure. I still remember it, right?
Yeah. Like, I get it. So I think you just accept that people are going to have opinions and you just do what you have to do. Mm. And if these people don't like it, someone else will like what you have to say, but focus on what you have to say. Like for me, like I've just made life simpler. When it I don't worry as much about like clothes. I just wear a lot of black.
I'm black. That's your jam. Right now. Let's do it, right?
And I just kind of, I don't know. That's what I do. I focus on my message rather than how I do it.
I saw interview snippet of Billy Porter. Do you know Billy Porter? He's an Broadway stage performer. He's also on a television show called, escapes me right now. I can't remember. Fantastic performer, voice from God, clear. I mean, really. And he was on an interview on a television show recently, and they asked him kind of a similar question as what we're talking about right now. And the interviewer asked him a question along the lines of like, how is it that you're doing so well now? And he said that he was being true to himself. And that when he was busy trying to fit all the check boxes and check marks and make sure that everybody was pleased, he was poor. And when he finally said, this is who I am, and became fully expressed and comfortable in it, he says, I became a millionaire when I became truthful with myself. So maybe there's an amount of truthfulness that goes behind the acceptance is like being honest with yourself. I think, and getting comfortable with being who you are probably the big ones. Right. And those aren't really tools. It's kind of a state of mind. Almost. You kind of have to get there. It's part of the growing up journey. I think.
I agree. Yeah.
Well,
I agree. And also just wasted. Just think of, I don't know, for me, I think of it as like, what a waste of my time and energy to be thinking about this right now.
I agree. Now, you shared with me that you take great pride at being a champion for women and women of color, which I love. What are you doing right now with yourself or through your brand to be that champion?
So I am a part of a bunch of female organizations, female entrepreneurship organizations. So the Female Founder Collective, great. Project Entrepreneur, Hello Alice. And I just meet a lot with friends who are in business, and we hash out common problems that we find as women. There's a group that I meet with like 8 women once a month. From a company perspective, we have a very diverse team. It's 66% female and people of color. So we will continue being a diverse team. Also from how we portray ourselves on social media, it's always inclusive. We make it a point to show positive images of everyone. That's how I'm doing it currently.
Talk a little bit about Female Founder Collective, because I've stumbled across it now a handful of times in the last week in a few conversations. So share what that is, what that community is all about, and particularly for those women who might be looking for a network of like-minded women?
So Female Founder Collective was started by Rebecca Minkoff and Alison Wyatt. It's a group of female entrepreneurs who basically support each other. With COVID times, obviously, it's all remote. But it's a great initiative. And within that, if anyone, I highly recommend, I was a part of Project Entrepreneur, which is their accelerator that you can apply if you are about to launch your company or have just launched your company. And they basically train you to learn how to raise money, how to do a pitch deck. They pair you up with amazing like mentors. They put you in a cohort with other founders. And it's been incredibly valuable to me to just understand how the VC world works. And just, you know, even though I do have some finance background, just the little tricks. And, you know, every industry has their little insider quirks.
Yes, for sure.
And that was really helpful. Yeah. And the girls, I'm still friends with some of the women, and we talk to each other. Some are in CPG, some are starting brands. So it's very exciting.
Oh my gosh, that's great. I love that. I want to, from here, I kind of want to slightly turn our attention specifically to this kind of naturals market. So funny. I feel funny saying naturals now because the term is starting to, well, it's getting pretty muddied right now, but for today, we'll call it naturals. And your product certainly fits the criteria. Now, one of my biggest goals of this podcast is to start to cross that bridge between the traditional natural consumer and a much more broader audience or consumer. It's almost as if I was just interviewed for a podcast last week where I talked about being naturals and the interviewer was a Black man who says, well, you know, many of us kind of see organic as being kind of, that's white people's food. And that's not entirely true across the border, right? But this came from this man. And I was like, yeah, I know. One of the things that I'm trying to do is with this podcast is kind of raise the awareness that naturals and organics, we should be using our superpowers to kind of reach across into broader demographics, both from a financial standpoint, but also from an awareness standpoint, and stretch our understanding or our definition of naturals while creating products and opportunities for these wider audiences, whether it's economic or whether it's by racial stereotypes or all of these things. Like, we need to be doing better at that. And while I know that there absolutely is hurdles in creating an inexpensive naturals product, I think it all comes from that where you start when you're starting your business, what your intention is, and if you're looking at the audience that way. I wonder if you could just share your thoughts and perspective and how you thought about developing your product and how it's evolving as you're considering a wider audience, because I know we did talk about this a little bit.
So for us, our goal has always been to be mass market. We truly believe that everyone wants to be healthier. We do believe that almost everyone is tired. And we do believe that we have a better alternative. So we want to make this as accessible to as many people as we can. So what we have found is that there are two things that really matter to make a product mass. It's taste and price. People, especially for beverages, like people, this, you can only reach so many people if your functional product tastes
right
really bad. I think that, you know, like energy shots are not the best tasting thing in the world, but there is an expectation. It has, if you want people to switch from 5-hour energy, it has to be at least as good tasting or better than 5-hour energy. Like, people are not going to keep taking your drink. Like, that's one thing. And two is the price. Maybe they'll pay a little bit of premium, but not much, because the reality is people just don't have the, especially if they're going to make it a part of their daily lives, like, they can't. So we have been working. So the first thing that we attacked was taste, and we launched, and it's funny, we launched in February. Our main goal being D2C was to get as much customer data as possible and customer feedback, because we always thought we'd have a reformulation, like a rebrand. So we interviewed the people who loved us. We interviewed the people who stopped subscribing, and the people who stopped subscribing, they said, you know, basically there are two reasons: taste and price. So we reformulated, we launched our new formula late last year, and now we have the best tasting energy product, artificial or natural, in the market. We also have, like I said in the beginning, functionality is very important. For if you're switching somebody out of 5-hour energy, they expect a certain energy from it. So naturals have failed to deliver that, and we have, and that's why it's been so hard, because masking that bitter caffeine taste with 200 milligrams of caffeine without anything artificial was really hard. But we finally did it. And now we're working on the price point. What we have found is that we have people who literally take our product every day, and we are thinking outside of the box to find ways for those people to have energy shots that cost less than a 5-hour energy. They can just have a multi-serving pack, and they can have it every day in their homes. So that's how we're working to make it more affordable. And that is in the works, so I can't share too much about it. but we are working on it, and we will launch this year this new format. And we're really excited about it. And the reason we're doing that is because we want it to be cheap so that everyone can afford it.
You know, it's kind of tricky, right? Because the affordability and access is definitely our factors in all of this. But I also want to say there are people out there that might say, well, I don't want to spend, I don't know what the MSRP is, $350. They don't want to spend $350 for a shot, but yet they're going to Starbucks once a day and getting a $5.75 latte, right? So some of it is behavior change. And then also the inclusivity component, I think, of your brand is definitely a good lever to pull on as well, right? So you've got your representation, but you're also the fact that you're looking at the opportunity, kind of like you said, from that outsider perspective, like, what's the problem? And then what are all the different ways that I can attack the problem in order to create opportunity, both for your brand, but then also for the consumer. Like, you, if we're exposing an energy drink or an energy shot to an audience that maybe had never would have considered it before, there's some learning there. There's some absolute learning there. So I think that outsider perspective certainly helps.
Yeah, and what we have found, which has been incredible, was that we had the theory, like most natural products, we think that we're first going to go for the coastal, like SoulCycle woman, and then we're going to make our way to the middle of America. What we have found is that 50% of our customers are people who never touch an energy drink. They're like the coastal women, they're dietitians, they're switching out of coffee. But 50% of our customers are switching out of traditional energy drinks. They live in the Midwest. One of our best customers that I love is this woman called Mary. She lives in the Midwest. She subscribes to 8 9-packs per month. And the reason she's not drinking all of it, she never graduated high school, she works a night shift, and her friends from her shift, they don't have credit cards. So she buys the shots for everyone and they pay her back. And she shares it because they've been trying to switch out of 5-hour energy. They think 5-hour energy is poison. And they switched out of it into Go Big. So I think also that we as a natural industry have failed to acknowledge that we're being stereotypical. The people in the middle want to be healthier. It's not just the SoulCycle moms that want to like an organic product. Mm. They just can't afford it. And with COVID, it's become even much more of a preoccupation in everyone's mind. So I think it's a great opportunity. As an outsider, I believe that everyone wants to be healthier, including the night shift workers, the truck drivers, everyone. And that's what we're here to serve those people.
I love it. Well, we're at the point where we've kind of answered all of like those the big questions, and now kind of start wrapping up and asking some of the fun questions. So thank you for sharing about your background and why what you're doing is so important, the impact that you're wanting to make in people's lives. Pretty great. I wonder what other who else are you watching right now, particularly women? What other women leaders do you have your eye on, and why? And it doesn't have to be in food and beverage, it could be in any industry, but I'm just curious who would you want to elevate?
I actually would love to elevate Rebecca Minkoff and Allison Wyatt for starting Project Entrepreneur. And I also want to elevate
you're
you.
So sweet.
For no, because I do think that we all have common problems, and creating networks, in their case, female founders, like a network of women who can share and help each other. And in your case, a platform that, you know, if we share. And that's what I've found. Like, if we share your experiences, you realize a lot of people have the same problems. And if we talk through it and think through it together, it's just easier to solve them. I don't know. I'm a big female empowerment. I'm a feminist. I believe women should help women. You don't have to go, like, wave a flag, but you should stand up for your female coworker when like a guy's being an asshole to her. You should, you know, not judge. And I'm not the woman who thinks other women are catty or competitive. No, I think actually women are supportive and helpful. That's been my experience, and that's what I've given back. So people like you and like, you know, Rebecca and Allie, like, you're helping women. So I
thank
really
you.
Appreciate that.
So sweet. Diana, stick with it. I love it when my guests have an opportunity to share some sort of interesting tidbit about their business or themselves, or in your case, maybe even Brazil, something that somebody can easily tap into the capture in the back of their brain and take to a cocktail hour or whatever. Do you have anything, some interesting fact that you'd like to share?
Well, I think you said it in the beginning, but I'm the only female CEO in the whole energy drink industry.
And I think that's pretty big for those people who aren't in energy and may not understand how big that prize is. How big is that? What's the size of that market right now? Okay.
$14 billion.
So the first female CEO in a $14 billion industry that's growing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, growing very high, very well. Like,
what other, what other brands or products do you have your eye on, and why?
So I really like this. I don't know the founder, but I really like this other product called Minna. It's a sparkling tea. They launched a little bit before us, but they have a great
Oh.
message of inclusivity. I love their branding. I love what they're trying to do, and I love their message.
And last but not least, how are you keeping yourself sane and centered these days, especially now with all the snow?
Well, I don't know if I'm,
Oh.
I have a 2-year-old, and actually he keeps me sometimes not so sane, but the joy of a toddler is like just makes your day brighter. And the fact that just playing with a 2-year-old, you
Yes.
have to be present, and you can't be looking at your phone. He won't
Yeah.
let me look at my phone. So it's been a nice moment to just be with my kid and appreciate that and how lucky I
Yeah.
am to have him.
2-year-olds especially, that age group is my favorite too. They're not preoccupied. They're very present. They are transparent. You know what is happening with them in their brain or in their body or in their feelings at any moment in time. And everything is magical for them. Everything, piece of paper, rock on the floor, mommy's hand, it's all magical for them right now. So that's amazing that that's what keeps you centered. You're the first person that's mentioned a child or family member. That's very interesting. Yeah. Well, I really want to thank you so much for your time today. I was so glad that we were introduced to each other. I am going to be a big champion and watching you as you grow. Wondering if there's a way, if somebody wanted to reach out to you, is LinkedIn the best way to reach out to you, or do you prefer a different way?
Yeah, LinkedIn is great. I check
Excellent.
my messages, so
Oh,
I'd
Vivi,
appreciate
thank
that.
you so much for your time today. And I look forward to your future.
Thank you.
Of
Thank you so
course.
much for having me. And please keep
Oh.
doing what you're doing.
Oh.
I truly appreciate it. And you're making a
Thank you.
difference. I appreciate it.
This episode is sponsored by Retail Voodoo, a creative marketing firm specializing in growing, fixing, and reinventing brands in the food, beverage, wellness, and fitness industries. If your naturals brand is in need of positioning, package design, or marketing activation, we're here to help. You can find more information at retail-voodoo.com. And so there you go. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this channel and share with your network. Until next time, be well and do gooder.